flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live at Atlanta United's training grounds, guys, out in Marietta. It's Dukes and Bell, and you guys know we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Thanks to Brad Kuzan, who stopped by hanging out with us here. We're going to talk to our new manager in about 20 minutes, less than that, actually, about 15. Ronnie Dyla is going to join us. And, Mike, we were just talking with our buddy Jason Longshore. He's going to stick around because we want to get his thoughts on this, too. Our first time being out here, kind of experiencing, you know, the new squad, the new team, right. And we want to get some insight. And so Jason was just saying, you know, listen, the new manager, Ronnie, is going to be a talkative guy. He is a guy that wants people to understand what he's trying to do, and that's great for us because I think it embracing the 17s and Atlanta United fans is something we need right now.
Right. The funny thing was, you know, we had a great rapport with Frank DeBoer.
We did.
It just seemed like, you know, coming off of, unfortunately, Tata, it just seemed like a different style, and at times some of the fans didn't vibe it. But looking forward to getting to meet this guy, and we'll keep you up to speed on what's going around with the NFL. There's nothing happening with Jacksonville. We were just talking real quick before we get to Falcons about the hiring process where everyone is just killing Shad Khan, looking like a bunch of nitwits. Now we find out, I guess they took so much bad PR, they had to go get a blast from the past. Tony Boselli, Hall of Famer, now involved, air quotes, in the coaching decision there. More and more juice saying that the Cowboys are going to go with Brian Schottenheimer. And there's a talk that Jerry Jones has apparently spoken to Pete Carroll. So, now, that would be outside the box.
That would be.
What Jerry will probably do is go with the guy that's been alongside the guy you just didn't renew and do more of the same. You know, we can debate, and we were talking earlier in the show about, you know, if you go with a guy you know, you go with familiarity, Raheem is not going to bring in a guy who doesn't run his system or isn't on his same wavelength because, you know, two reasons. One, if it doesn't work, you're all going to get fired. And secondly, you know, let's be honest, if it's a qualified guy like Steve Wilks, you could always turn the reins over to him. But in this case, I think the Cowboys are the perfect example of somebody that has to change the approach offensively. Go outside the box, don't you?
Yeah.
Not more of the same.
Well, and here's the other part about, you know, Raheem. Like, unless you're bringing in a future Hall of Famer who you are going to allow to do whatever they want because they've got the proven pedigree and the rings to back it up. But as I've said, like, you know, we dismiss the fact that Raheem is a Super Bowl-winning defensive coordinator. He's got the moxie. He understands what he wants. I think more than anything, he wanted somebody to come in and run it in a way that he didn't have to get as involved as he did last year.
And you know what? In hindsight, because we talked about this last couple weeks, maybe Rodgers should coach the defense. I know some guys feel, you know, if you're Dan, remember Dan Quinn took the defense over twice. Remember he took it over in the 16th Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
So I know that it's a lot on some folks' plates. Some coaches do call their offense and run the team. But that's why, you know, what was exactly, a lot of folks feel like, was Schottenheimer really the OC? Because it's Mike McCarthy's offense.
Yeah, listen, offense is different. I've explained this, Mike, and it doesn't mean that you can't do it. It's just more difficult.
Right.
Look around the league, and you guys tell me the DCs that are head coaches that are calling their own defenses. It's more difficult. Offense is different because you're dictating the terms of where you want to go and the play calling and how the game is going. A defense, you're reacting. And so I've always said, like, I think that's a mistake. I actually think Raheem did the right thing by coming in and said, I'm going to be the head coach. I'm going to handle the head coaching duties and handle my players and let my assistants do the job. I am not going to overextend myself. And then we get in a game on Sunday and everybody's mad because, you know, oh, he didn't do this or that when it comes to clock management. Those are the things I need him focused on, not worrying about. And this is why I went and got a guy he trusted and experienced, whether we like it or not, that can call the plays and have the adjustments that they need without him having to dive in.
And we were talking about this earlier. You know, I don't know how you guys are as Falcon fans. What is the bellyache, you know, call it the statute of limitations. For me, it's about 72 hours. You know, I'm over the Ulbrich. I didn't like the Ulbrich hire. I understand why he's hired.
Well, we just have to embrace it.
Yeah, you just laid it out, and now we're moving forward, so now you hope that they draft the right guys, because you know there's not many options for us as far as free agency. There's really nobody you'd be interested in, save for, and you and I debated the benefits, or or maybe you feel it's not. There's no benefits with Khalil Mack at age 34, but there's.
Well, I had a guy hit me up, Mike, and say let him come in and be a mentor. I'm not looking for that.
No,
I need guys that can play.
Yeah. Now Dwight Freeney helped out Vic, but then. I don't know. Vic is one of those crazy cases. I know he's got a lot of listeners. We got a lot of listeners in his neck of the woods, and he's a great guy. He never put a foot wrong in the community. That's not the point. But when I say, did he have the Valentine? That's the kind of stuff we were hearing from guys on that team. You know, the want to.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's what as a general manager, you're supposed to figure out in the pre-draft process.
They didn't, and I don't know if anybody knows until you get into it.
Right.
Because he had such a great year the year we go to the Super Bowl. You would have thought he followed that up, and things just got progressive.
Remember the year I was going to get his face on my butt if he had 10 sacks?
I'm so glad you didn't. 404-726-0929 is the number as we talk about our Falcons, guys. And, again, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Thursday, 5 o'clock. Is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, where Boneless Thursday is going on. Buy one, get one boneless wings with our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Coming up, as we mentioned, the manager of Atlanta United, Ronnie Dyla, is going to join us. But as we talk about this team, Mike, you know, we're already talking about where we want to go in the draft. We have limited picks. Everyone's going to have to count. You could ultimately pick up some additional picks, but we're not there yet, and I'm not willing to dive in to that point. We're still, you know, we hadn't even played the Super Bowl yet. But I will tell you this. A lot of mock drafts have us taking what we've been asking for the last, I don't know, 5 years, and maybe for you a lot longer, and that is to go get a defining edge rush kind of player
right.
That's young, that's talented, and that can make a difference immediately. Now, the example, guys, is last year when we talked about Latu and Fisk and all these guys, nobody had these guys going in the top five. None of them went. But then when you saw where they landed and then the production that they had this year,
right.
If you had to do it over again, Fisk was the guy.
Well, Fisk was always going to be a second rounder based on the draft, but I just, maybe because I was too close to it, just saw his motor, saw the stuff that he brought to the table, and thought he'd be a really nice fit for us. So that was one that I thought, you know, if we had a chance, it made a lot of sense to go down that road. We didn't. So then you look at the way the Rams approached it. The last couple of years, they really nailed those drafts in the middle rounds. So we will see if we can do likewise. Maybe Rook Oro really pops. Maybe Braylon Trice. Now, again, we just talked to Brad Guzan about coming off an injury. I don't even know what Braylon Trice is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I joked around with you last week because I asked D. Ladd. I said, I'm really excited about him. Oh, he's just a guy, Mike. But I mean, he was a leader on that team, but is he going to be as athletic? Maybe he can surprise some people. Meanwhile, real quick, Carl, while we're talking Falcons, we get some breaking news on the Braves.
And by the way, I do think he's more than a guy. That's me, but come on.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope D's wrong, and I'm right about that. Because when we watched him at practice, I really thought Braylon Trice looked like a rock star. We were talking yesterday at the end of the show. There was a couple of tweets that David O'Brien put out there saying, don't really expect the Braves to do much of anything. Maybe trying to clear the decks and try to reset for, you know, the luxury tax and everything that baseball's version up for next year. Maybe there'd be some minor moves. But a name that you and I had mentioned a couple of times during the Hot Stove League, apparently it comes to fruition. Jurickson Profar apparently agreed to a deal with the Braves. Don't have all the financials on it.
This is an area they need to improve in. And
get better strength in the outfield.
Yes. Well, you need some depth. I mean, that's the thing. And the reason why, especially to start the season, this is not I shouldn't say a surprising move. If you're a Braves fan, you know that Ronald Acuna is not going to be 100% to start the season. And they want to be very careful in how they approach his play and how much he's actually out there. We're talking about how many innings, Mike, his at-bats, everything. Because we know we need Ronald Acuna at the end of the year. We don't need Ronald Acuna in April and May.
No.
And so this is a depth move to say, hey, we've got a couple of options now as we work him back into the outfield. Our outfield is going to be set. Right. Money Harris is going to be in one spot, obviously in center field. You're going to have Acuna, right? And then I think you kind of play who's ever, depending on the game.
Kelnick, if it's a matchup that Kelnick looks favorable in. You know, and for guys who don't know Jurickson Profar, last couple of years with San Diego. This was good numbers, though. 24 home runs, 85 RBIs, surrounded by obviously really good talent in San Diego. But for his career, that's the most home runs he's ever hit in a season. He had 2 years of 20, one with Texas, one with Oakland. He is, by nature, Carl, you could plug him in left field. He's also played second base and shortstop.
Well, he's got some versatility, right? This is a depth move that if he brings the pop, it's a win.
But it's something that Chris, I know he's off today, but our Chris Turtle Thomas has been talking about at night, saying you've really got it. Whatever the platoon in left field is going to be, because you can't put Ozuna out in left. We know that. He's strictly the DH. So Jurickson, Profar, Kelnick, they could probably still, those got to be the starting bookends until Acuna comes back and is 100%.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, again, you add a bat, and I know some people are worried, like, oh, he's a journeyman, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is you sign him. This is probably little money, Mike. We don't have the particulars yet. But at the end of the day, this is a guy that will step in and watch what happens. If the lineup is hitting like we need it to and should hit, not like last year, this is a guy to step in there, and he'll get pitches, Mike, because of the guys around him, just like he did in San Diego.
Right, but when you think about some of the dudes that we've added, everyone said, like, oh, how many 200 hitters can the Braves add? You know, bringing in guys like Brian De La Cruz, we talked about. Eli White did a nice job last year helping out. But, yeah, it is going to be interesting to see if this guy can kind of pick up where he left off last year, where he batted 280. His baseball card, Jurickson Profar, is a 245 hitter.
All right. I'll wait to see, but my thing with this is a move for depth. Don't think of it as
you're going to platoon. I just thought you wanted to have a better partner in the platoon once Acuna's back and left anyway, right?
Well, what's a better partner? Meaning spending more money?
No, just something more production.
Yes.
I'm not, you know, Chris is very anti-Kelnick.
He is.
You and I are lukewarm on Kelnick.
Well, I just think he's inexpensive. It doesn't cost you a whole lot. And for where he's at, you still have him under control. Doesn't make sense. Everybody wants superstars at every position. It doesn't happen that way. And so for this situation, I think this is a nice little pickup for the Braves. I do.
It was a need. It was addressed. Now, again, you still got to find another bullpen piece.
Yes.
I would still argue you need another starting pitcher, but look, you know they're going to do that on the cheap. But it was Mark Feinsend who had it initially for MLB, an MLB insider. He had the story and retweeted out there. But Jurickson Profar, signed by the Braves, don't have the details on the financials yet.
All right, guys, we got more to get to. We're going to talk to the new manager of Atlanta United. We'll get into some of his background and also his philosophy. I think, Mike, that's what fans want to know, right? They want to know what this is going to look like potentially. And with his experience, I think he can lay out a pretty adequate case as to what he wants to do here. The question is, does he have the players to do it? Does he have the players to do it?
Well, that's another thing. We're going to talk to Jason Longshore, that's Longshue on Twitter, about the dudes, because we couldn't really talk specifics with players who are under contract to other teams, because I'm sure somewhere in the world of FIFA you'll get fined for that, just like the NFL. But there's rumors about a number of players, and obviously the idea that you could get Miguel Amarón back here would freak everybody out. I know there's a bunch of, you know, there's how many right now United fans, they got the jersey. It's only because maybe you can't get it yet. You got to type in Amarón on the back, number 10. And they're like this, they're just waiting to hit send. You know, give that $159 to MLS.com.
It went up 10?
I know this right now. There's like 5,000 people right now ready to go, but they want to hear about Miggy coming back to the A, but still no word. A lot of rumors. Everyone says it's close, but still nothing official, not even close.
All right, he brings experience winning multiple trophies, guys. He's our new manager. We're going to meet him and talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Let's talk to the new manager of our Atlanta United squad, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at the Atlanta United training grounds. Ronnie Dyla is here, and first and foremost, welcome.
Thank you so much.
We're excited to talk with you, and Mike and I were discussing with him in the break, you know, our fandom for Atlanta United and how exciting it's been. And I think the main thing, Ronnie, is, you know, this transition. You come in, and everybody we've talked to, we just had Brad Guzan. We talked to Ronald. The guys are talking about understanding what you want from them. And so I want to start there because, you know, we think you guys come in, these new managers, and you just snap a finger and everything falls into place. There's a lot of work that goes into structure and how you want to play, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a process. It starts. You have to start somewhere, put some good the clear expectations about what you want on and off the pitch, and then it's repetition, and it has to be clear and simple. because if you complicate things too much, then you overrate him, the player, sometimes.
What kind of player were you?
I was a central defender, so I was intelligent, but I would lack a little bit speed, so I couldn't take it to the highest. So it was the highest level in Norway, but to go to the international level, I was like straight under the national team level for Norway. So, but I always was interested in football to learn the tactics and what the coaches, the leadership thing that was always there from the start.
In America, sometimes the guys who don't necessarily make it to the top turn out to be the best managers. So, when did you know you want to be a manager?
That was early, you know. Yeah. So, I think already when I was 18, 19 years old, I was thinking like, I want to do this when I'm. I started to coach when I was 19. When I was playing in the top division, well, professional, I was also coaching under 19s for 6-7 years.
Mm. Mm. Ronnie, you bring a plethora of experience to Atlanta United. You've won trophies. You've been around the world. And I'm curious, you take something from every experience, right? And then you just kind of bring it with you and you add to what you want here. For those who don't know, he was the former manager of New York City FC, and of course, you know, won the cup in 2021. We've seen that club time and time again
on that tiny little field,
and we've talked a lot about it. But what do you bring, having the experience of being around the MLS?
That's important because it's a special league because you have the salary cap, so you know everything about that that thing. So and you have also all the traveling. You have so different climates all over the place, and also does something with your how you train, and also to keep people fresh, players fresh during the season. And at the same time, it's very competitive, so you also know that. So it's about playoff. I also understand that also. That's a little bit different from Europe, that the rest of the world almost, that it's about the league. But here is, of course, we want to win the league, but most of all, win the cup. And that's also exciting, you know, because the biggest game is coming in the end of the season. So you can use the whole year to of course, win, but to improve yourself. And we have to be in your best shape when that starts.
Ronnie, how much, I don't know, did Garth Lagerwey or Arthur Blank or anybody involved in the process have to sell you on this? How much?
Not so much, because I knew it. I was playing here with New York. I saw what kind of support this club had. I saw the stadium. I, of course, I've talked with many people also that's been in Atlanta and been around Atlanta, and how also highly they speak about Atlanta in New York when we was there. Mm-hmm. So, but I was here one time before I signed, and then I also saw the facilities. And I get a very good feel with Chris and Garth and the management, everybody above, that they it's a friendly, family-friendly club. We are working together to do something. It's not like here you have your team, make something out of it. We do it together. And I think that's how I like to work. I like to work with people. I like to do something together and create something special. And then you need good people around you, and we need to work as a unit.
It's Ronnie Dyler with us, guys, the new manager of your Atlanta United. Here we'll be talking more about the Falcons. Braves make a move that's coming up in about 20 minutes right here on 92.9 The Game. You got some holes to fill. You mentioned the different things in the MLS with the rosters. We have two spots for designated players. I know we can't name names, but do you have a wish list? Like,
I think... you know, there's also the opportunities we have in Atlanta to bring good players. The financial power we have is also good. So that also make it, you know, the players we'll bring in the DP spots are going to be top players for sure.
Right.
So that's something that will, of course, do things easier to make quick progress and success.
You mentioned your time at NYCFC. We used to joke. We still joke around every time we have to play at Yankee Stadium. Like, oh, man, that pitch. So when you got there, you're like, I mean, we always felt like, oh, those guys have such an advantage. Did you certainly look at that and said, well, there's certain things I'm going to do differently and play to the advantage I've got with this? Or was as a coach, you go, this isn't helping me with this smaller pitch. What was the attitude?
Yeah, no, we never trained on that. So, but, of course, we had played them more than the others, and we had our home pitch. But every stadium in – in the league should be terrible to come to.
Right.
So when I come to New York City, they talked about Atlanta, and it's like, that's the worst place we can come. Yeah. And that's what we have to get back again.
You talk about crowd. It's, yes, it's a good bad. Good for us.
So, but of course, the Yankee Stadium is special. But for me, it was nothing. You didn't do anything different. It was maybe we were just that we were more used because the pitch. I don't know that it, like the angles is different. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you don't know where you are on the pitch. I think that's
right.
So, but we didn't only play there. We were in the New York Red Bull Stadium. Didn't like that so much. And then, so we were in different places as well.
Ronnie, you played all over the world. Where did you enjoy the most? I mean, you're in Belgium. You're in Norway. Obviously, you're from there. Where do you feel like, hey, I really enjoyed that experience, and why?
I think I enjoyed everything. I think the biggest experiences was the Celtic when I was there. Mm-hmm. 2 years being in Glasgow, experienced that crazy place about attention and pressure. And it's two teams that is fighting against it all the time, and they hate each other. Mm-hmm. So that was special.
And everywhere you go, people are...
Yeah. It's
people
Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah. It is. Everywhere. It's, you don't have you have no time off. Whatever, if you fill gas on the car, they was like, hey, Ronnie, come on, we're going to win in the weekend. You know?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So that was just a special special place. And I think also Standard Liège was also special because they also have unbelievable fans. And it's a passion city. So these two places I really, really enjoyed. When talking about enjoying outside the pitch, maybe Abu Dhabi was better.
We were talking. No disrespect to Glasgow, but yeah, Carl. No, we've never been, and we've talked about that's on our bucket list because we're big racing fans, love Formula One. What was that like being in Abu Dhabi and over in the Emirates?
Nah, it was great. It was like being in vacation all the time. We were living on the beach and. Had a golf course beside us, and I didn't see a cloud for 6 months.
Oh.
So that was unbelievable. So if you haven't been there, you should go.
Yeah, we plan on it. We really do.
That's on the bucket list. Ronnie Dial is with us. He is the new manager of Atlanta United. And it's funny because, Carl, I've got a Celtic jersey. I can actually maybe get back into it. But that Rangers thing, because we talk about Yankees and Red Sox. But there's
real
also
rivalry.
But it's tribal over there because it's Protestant with Rangers and the Celtics basically get the working class Catholic. And
it takes it to a different level.
It really does. It does.
We played to... old firms there is crazy. So it's the most important matches every year, and Celtic now has been much better than Rangers for a while. So that's of course the Rangers now. Kenny is a Rangers fan. Kenny, my assistant, he played at Rangers, but he is one of the few that's played in both of the clubs. Yeah. So he was 1 year there as well. So. He needs to be tough mentally when you go from Celtic. It was Rangers to Celtic and back to Rangers again.
Ronnie, can you talk about, as we talk to the manager of Atlanta United, guys, a few more minutes with him as he has stopped by here on the show. We're out here at the training grounds, and we'll be back out here, and we're excited to see what happens. They got a friendly this weekend. We said that against Chattanooga to kind of get things underway. But your philosophy, can you explain a little bit maybe what we can expect? Every manager's different, but if you can expound on that just a little bit.
As a football wise, I'm a very offensive coach. You know, I'm into high pressure. I like to be as much as possible in opponent's half. So we need to have legs in the team. We need to be very aggressive. We cannot carry any players. We need everybody on the same page. You need also to be forward minded in on the ball, break lines, and get a lot of balls into the box. So in the way you create trouble for the opponent. I don't like to sit back and wait for them to come. That's I get problems then. I cannot sit and look at it. So I can accept to be played low because sometimes you meet two teams, the good teams that are playing you low. That's okay. But to go out and want to be defense minded, that's not in my head. So, but I'm a structure guy. I think offensively, it's you need to have a pattern that. It's about overload. It's about creating get the opponents unbalanced, and then you need relations on the pitch. Everybody knows exactly what to do in their role, and they have to play together. They have to understand why, if do you do this, I need to do this. So that's opposite, and it's creating trouble for the opponent. That's the main thing. And when it talks about culture, that's about developing themselves. I need to have players that want to be the best, who is able to take information and do something with it. And when you want to be the best, then you have a lot of drive and energy. And for me, mistakes will happen. I don't care about mistakes. I care about what you do, what do you learn from it over time. And because I want players to feel free on the pitch to go out there and enjoy themselves. And then, of course, things will happen, bad things will happen. But in over time, you will do more good decisions than bad decisions.
I like the philosophy.
Me too. That's music to a lot of our fans and listeners' ears, because we always love to be an attacking side. I know we can't talk about guys we don't have, but Saba, Mascara, Brooks. We just saw Brooks Lennon. Of course, he did a great job getting the ball in it. Some of those guys fit what you're trying to do.
Yeah, they are. You know, I think they've been very good so far. You know, but I said it before, we are in honeymoon now. You know, and when you come in, everything is new, it's exciting. You have to have a little bit of time together, and it's like in a relationship. Then you start to fight a little bit, and then you really, really understand each other when you have some good times and some bad times. So the only thing that's not going to change is the messages. They will be very clear, and the expectation is very clear. And then it's about how quick can you learn and how good can you make yourself and your teammate. If you can do that, then you have a future in Atlanta and we can achieve something together.
He's not playing around. Ronnie, I appreciate you. Mike appreciates you.
Yes, it's finally good to get to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Atlanta United fans appreciate you. We're looking forward to an exciting year. And he's installing all this stuff, guys, but we're trying to give you some ideas about what's happening out here at the training grounds as they get ready for an upcoming season. And to Mike's point, our DPs, that's still not settled.
Right.
We'll see where that goes, all right? Ronnie Dyla, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Good stuff. New manager for Atlanta United, guys. We're live out here. We're going to come back. Jason Longshore is going to stop by, fill in some of the blanks here as we talk about this club. All right, stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I want to remind you, breaking news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app and visit BetQL.com today. Thanks to our new manager, Ronnie Dyla, and sitting down with us, Jason Longshore, guys, analyst for Atlanta United. He's hanging out here today and was out here at the training grounds as well. And we got to grab Jason. We're going to talk some more football coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, Sean Merriman's going to stop by. But, Jason, we just talked to Ronnie. I'm impressed simply because sometimes when you ask guys about, hey, philosophy and what do you want to do, they beat around the bush. He laid out exactly how he's going to approach this thing, what he expects from the players. And for me, that's the foundation, right? We can talk about players and talent and all this other stuff, but you got to have the foundation. And I think he knew exactly coming in here what he wanted to do. And again, guys, he's been a champion in this league. He's won an MLS Cup in 2021. He knows how to do this. Tell me what your thoughts are about what you're hearing from him.
What I like that I've seen is that philosophy, that way of running a team has been consistent. It was that way at Celtic. It was that way in Belgium. It was that way in New York. It was that way early in his career. I think his playing career, as he said to you guys, kind of led him to where he is now. And he's had to look at the game differently. He wasn't the fastest center back when he was a player. So you start to analyze the game differently, you start to think about it. So from a tactical perspective, he's always had that. Tactics are not philosophy. I think at times we lump it all together.
We do.
You're going to see sometimes, I think they're typically going to play in a 4-2-3-1, but you're going to see three center backs sometimes. You're going to see things evolve sometimes in games. There'll be two up top in times in games because it's what a situation dictates.
Right.
Philosophy is the everyday way that they work, and I think it's really consistent. He's going to hold guys accountable. He's going to ask a lot from them. He is going to be very clear in what he's asking from them, And he's going to expect every player, whether we're talking about Ashton Gordon at 17 years old or we're talking about Brad Kazan at 40, he's going to ask every player to be better and continue to improve and develop.
So when we talk about style, for guys like we always say the casual fan, which Atlanta United will probably get more in if Miggy comes back, is it like 40 minutes of hell, the Nolan Richardson? I mean, like, is it a full court press? Is it just he said he wants the ball, so yeah. Is he basically – it sounds like, you know, dictating the tempo, and to put it in layman's terms.
Yeah, it's not going to be reckless pressing. Okay. I think that's the way that I would put it. Like, if you're comparing it to that, and I think right. At times, like early Atlanta United, go back to Tata Martino's time frame, they were very aggressive at the very beginning, and then Tata realized, I can't do that in this league. These guys are going to drop dead in the middle of the summer. I can't do
right.
that. So I have to adapt, and that team got a little more defensive. It's going to be situational, but what I've noticed in the sessions I've seen this week, intensity in defending. So it's not about full court press as much as it is we have a chance to win the ball back here, whether that's middle third, whether that's the attacking third. Go get it. Don't sit back. Don't hold back there. We'll deal with if they break it. We'll deal with that. But if it's not on, don't go chase wildly. Don't be silly. Be organized, and when you have the chance to win the ball back – go win it. The first word that I typed into my notes Tuesday at the session up in Flowery Branch was competitiveness. The session was very intense. Everything was about creating that competitive atmosphere. It was 2v2s that then progressed to 6v6s. Everything was about competition. Same today. And when I asked Ronald Hernandez on Tuesday about that competitiveness, he's like, you should have seen yesterday's session. So it's right. been consistent that this team has been fighting and scrapping and clawing these first couple weeks of preseason. I hope we get to see that on Saturday against Chattanooga.
It is our man, Jason Longshore. Follow him, guys, at Longshu on Twitter, because, again, he's been out here, and we have our first chance. We had about a good 5 minutes during the commercial break to kind of get to know Ronnie before we're chatting with him, and it's really cool, the breadth of experience. And, you know, as we said, Celtics, just a pressure cooker. And the reason he got – if guys guide us up on the text, why did he lose his job? Because they think that they're like the English Premier League in Scotland, and they don't really do well when they get out of Scotland and play in the Champions
here's
League.
Here's the thing.
Expectations are unrealistic.
Yes, but when that stuff comes up, why aren't we talking about every coach in the NFL that's on the hot seat after 4 games? Like, it's the same thing here.
Right.
You amplify that even more in some of these leagues where guys don't get time to develop a team off.
Right.
It is about going in and immediately winning. I think MLS is starting to get that way, too. You look back at how many coaching changes happened around the league last year, you got to produce. So it's the same everywhere. It's the same in all of our sports, you know?
Jason, tell us about these DPs and what's designated players, guys. Who is on the table? We know none of this stuff is set in stone.
Yeah.
Who's on the table? What makes sense?
So Miguel Almiron's name has come up quite a bit. And it sounds like, and there was another report today from Herman Garcia Grova, who's one of the leading Spanish language reporters covering the transfer market and how things are going. It sounds like that is getting close and close and close to getting done. It makes sense on all fronts because Newcastle needs to sell. They don't have a salary cap in the strict sense like we do, but they need to sell to be able to spend money probably in the summer.
Gotcha.
He hasn't been playing there, so he's surplus there right now. They need the money. It all makes sense. Of course, Atlanta would love to have Miguel Almiron back, and he fits the style of play. Is he the same player he was in 2018? No, he's 30. You know, he's older. Has he developed maybe mentally and understanding the game a little bit more tactically during his time in the Premier League where he's played over 220 games? Yeah, he has. So I couldn't wait to see him back in this team if that deal gets done. And it sounds like, again, everything is trending in that direction. Emmanuel Latelath is the other one that has been talked about a lot in
where is
the media.
Where is he at?
He is at Middlesbrough in the second division in England. He has been very close to a Premier League deal before.
Okay.
I think Middlesbrough would love the money that would come in, whether that's from Atlanta or that's from a Premier League club. His agent is Italian, and he developed in Italy at Atalanta. His agent, I think, is trying to get a little bit of a bidding war going. Middlesbrough would obviously love a bidding war. They'd make more money out of that, right? It hasn't materialized yet. Now, that deal is interesting because Middlesbrough is trying to get promoted into the Premier League. They're on the verge. They're in that kind of conversation where they should be thinking about it. So if they sell, they need to go buy a forward immediately to replace him. You've only got 12 more days in the transfer window. So for England to do that, for Middlesbrough to do that, you've got to make a move sooner rather than later. So you're getting kind of up against that timeline of, can we sell and actually go get a replacement in time to still be a competitive team and maybe make the Premier League? That's tricky. There's been a couple other names that have been linked. Odson Edouard, who is with Crystal Palace. He's been on loan at Leicester City. He hasn't played a whole lot. He had a really good time at Celtic after Ronnie was there. You also have Kyogo Furuhashi, who was linked very early on, but it's looking like he's going to go to Ligue 1 in France.
So that's not happening? Okay.
Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it, but look, like, it's a transfer window. We call it silly season for a reason.
Sure.
Like, it will get chaotic. I think we're starting to get a good taste of that with the transfer portal here with college football. And remember all of these different that bubbles up. Oh, this guy's declared for the portal. Oh, this guy's going here. No, he's going here now. That's the transfer window worldwide right now. You've got clubs linked to players. You've got clubs trying to hijack deals at the last minute. It's chaos. But it sounds like Almiron is close. Latte-Lath, it sounded like it was close, but that's gotten a little quieter. The other two have kind of faded to the background a little bit.
Cool beans. What is MLS looking like this year, by the way? You know, we talked about – and by the way, Braves make a move. We'll fill you in on that as part of the headlines and plenty more on the Falcons coming up. As far as who's the guy's going to be that going to be make us better on defense if we can. But Jason, as far as the league, where do we stand? I mean, so hard to say until we know who these DPs are going to be, but designated players. But can we what should be a realistic expectation? I guess is my point for Five Stripes fans.
It's too early to say because that roster is not complete. The crazy growth of Major League Soccer. This is year 30. I remember when I was in college, like driving back to watch the first game ever with friends with DC and San Jose.
And the big poofy shirts they wore.
The poofy shirts, the hoop socks, the, you know, they were playing in San Jose where the field was even more narrow than Yankee Stadium.
Sure.
I mean, at Spartan Stadium, it's just, it's chaos to see where we are now with 30 teams, San Diego coming in. The East last year I thought was way better than the West. I think it's probably going to be that way again this year. Miami. You know, Messi's going to be in, you know, like revenge tour mode all season long, along with his buddies to try to win something this year for Miami. Columbus is still very, very good. Cincinnati went out and spent a ton of money on a forward. We'll have to see what they look like. Red Bulls got to MLS Cup last year and surprised everybody. They should be even better. And, of course, Atlanta is going to spend money to be better. I think they're going to be better with Ronnie Dialla here from day one in preseason, building this team the way that they want. But if you go get a couple of designated players, like the two that we've talked about that are on the table potentially, this is a much, much better team. And I think when you look at how he wants to play and getting guys like Latte-Lath or Almiron or both, they fit. They fit. They fit the style. They fit the league. They fit. It all seems to sync together if those deals can get done.
Jason, along with our guy Mike Conte, is going to have the call this weekend against Chattanooga. Again, just getting started, guys, but it's the lead in and lead up to, obviously, the first real match of the season. So you'll get a chance to see them and see what this looks like and some of the things you've seen already and how they're going to implement this. Jason, thanks, man, for stopping by. We wanted to get some clarity on some of the stuff after talking with our new manager, and appreciate you, bro.
Anytime, y'all.
He's like my Shell Answer Man. He's always there, Carl, 24-7. I just reach out and text Jason for pronunciations and for strategy, and you will let us know as soon as the Miggy thing drops.
When I hear something, I will let you guys know.
All right. Man.
We're all waiting patiently.
Yes. I told Carl earlier, I know we got to go to break. I think there's got to be 5,000 people that already have that uniform in the queue. It's in the shopping cart at MLS.com. You've already put the, I presume you'd wear number 10, right?
I would have said it's open.
Yeah, we don't have a 10. All right. I just want to hit send. We got to know we got it.
We got a new Braves player to talk about and a pretty significant deal considering that this wasn't cheap as you might have thought. But I like the move. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.